not get to see me, which probably won't break your heart that much. Anyway, I was, you know, I sat down today and I read the 12 and 12. I read the big book and, you know, did some writing and some stuff. And of course, prayer and meditation. And one of the things that really occurred to me today is that, you know, we have a really stellar opportunity right now with how we are, you know, in this forced quarantine, more or less, to learn some new things about ourselves and about different ways of doing things. And so, you know, that's what I was thinking about today. You know, what am I learning? What am I learning through all this? What, you know, what am I going to be able to take with me and use out of this time? And you know, it surprised.
Oops. Hit the wrong button.
Somebody muted me. Okay. Okay. Can you hear me now? Somebody muted me, I think.
That was me. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. So now you all waved at me. So now I don't know where I was. okay. Yeah. Comedians everywhere. And so I realized that, you know, I like this slowing down. It's been really good for me. And it forces me to focus a whole lot more on the present. And that's a good thing for me. And, you know, people say, I didn't really get this whole prayer and meditation thing. I thought you had to, you know, I don't know, wear a monk's robe and, you know, sit in the corner and go om or whatever. And so this step didn't really have a lot of meaning for me because I just thought, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. So I've never done it before. I don't know how to do it. So, you know, probably we'll just, you know, do the prayer part and not worry about the rest. And the thing about meditation is it's just like everything else. If I don't practice it, I'm not going to get good at it. It's like the first time I rode a bike, I fell off. And it took me several more tries until I could actually ride a bike. And so this takes practice just like everything else, you know. And this step is so powerful. They are all powerful. But this one for me is particularly powerful because this is where I get an opportunity to review who I am and who I want to be. And, you know, even Kevin was asking some of these questions last week about, you know, in step 10, and it's really clear. There are such great clear-cut instructions in the big book for exactly what we do in step 11. You know, what do we do at night? When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? That's the meditation. You know, that right there is the meditation. That's where I'm, you know, reviewing, you know, my behavior and my attitude and my outlook on life. So that's the meditation. And the prayer is then, after making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So it's not that complicated. It can be. I mean, I know people that go on meditation retreats and they don't talk for 3 days. I don't know how well I would do at one of those because I don't know if I should go 3 days without talking. But it's very simple. And like all of the rest of this, it's very simple. And it, you know, it talks about a God of my understanding, the God that I understand in step 10, even though I don't necessarily understand him any better in step 10 than I did in step 3. Now I have a God of my experience. And so, you know, my experience by the time I get to step 11 says, okay, if we do this deal, it works. You know, I know that if I pray for acceptance, certain things are going to happen. Tolerance testers are going to be put in my path so that I can learn to accept things. That's how this works. And You know, so I love this. And then it says on awakening, let's think about the 24 hours ahead. So when I get up in the morning, you know, that's my morning meditation when I'm, you know, whatever it is, I'm feeding the cats or, you know, getting my meds out or getting my coffee or whatever. That's, you know, that's when I'm, you know, thinking about my plans for the day. That's my morning meditation. And certainly there are many other ways that we can and do meditate. But a lot of it for me is just about sitting quietly. And, you know, in the 12 and 12, it talks about constructive imagination, that meditation is constructive imagination. And I like that because I used to imagine all sorts of things. You know, I would have imaginary conversations with people, you know, both sides, and then, you know, plan the outcome as well. So that when I saw that person, I was angry at them for the imaginary conversation. And so now it gives me an opportunity to use my imagination in a more constructive way. And I like that it uses those words. You know, I like that a lot. Excuse me. You know, one of these things that, you know, this prayer and meditation is, you know, we are careful not to pray for ourselves only unless it will help someone else. And so my prayer is, you know, help me be shown throughout the day, you know, what your will is for me and the power to carry that out. That's what it says I should be praying for. And my prayer life has changed a lot. It used to be a lot more specific and individualized, I guess. And I would say, okay, I need to pray for this person. So I would pray for very specific things like, okay, I need to pray for this person because, I don't know, they're an active alcoholic and they need to recover. And so that's what my prayer is going to be, except that I'm not God and I don't know what God's will is for anyone else. So, you know, I've broadened my prayers a little more in that when I'm praying for another person, it's more about, you know, my acceptance of his will for the other person as well as their acceptance of God's will. And it just takes a lot of stress off, you know, because I realized that praying for somebody else with my specific agenda isn't really prayer, it's control. And learning how to do those things, it takes time. It takes a lot of time to learn how to get my ego out of the way. And I don't always succeed at it, you know? But, and then I got out my big book dictionary because, you know, I thought I knew what the word meditation meant. And what it means is purposeful and intentional focusing of one's thoughts, to reflect upon, to ponder or consider thoughtfully. So that tells me that I am supposed to be focusing on something, whatever that is. You know, maybe it's something that I can't figure out, you know, and it talks about that in the big book too. You know, if we think about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. We ask God for the right thought or action, and then we let it go and we go about our day and the answer will come in God's time. And it talks about, too, what used to be the hunter, the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. I know that some of the things that I thought God was telling me in my early recovery were really not even close, because I thought that this marvelous hunch was, you know, an inspiration directly from God. And so that's where the sponsor comes in and says, well, you know, maybe you might be a little bit off base on this one. I don't have to run as many things by my sponsor or anyone else as I used to, because I do, you know, have a working relationship with a higher power. And so I don't have to run a lot of stuff by that. Doesn't mean that I don't still run stuff by people, because, you know, I'm human. And you know, sometimes I just don't know what my right action is supposed to be, and I need to get my ego out of the way. And it talks in here, it talks about the St. Francis of Assisi prayer in the 12 and 12. And then it talks about, you know, this guy is wanting to be a channel, you know, he make me a channel, you know? And so I can pray to be a channel. There's all kinds of prayers. There's no thing that I love the most about this is there's no specific prayers. You use whatever prayers you like, whatever prayers work for you, whatever prayers open up your heart and your soul and your mind. And I that set aside prayer, I love that prayer. I say that prayer a lot because it really helps me get my ego out of the way because it's such a humbling prayer. And the prayer of the Saint Francis of Assisi, that's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. You know, make me an instrument of thy will. And I don't know it offhand. It's a long prayer, and I've managed to make it through the third and seventh step prayer and memorize those. So I think that's probably the best it's going to get. But it's a wonderful prayer. And there's you know, if you practice a religion, you know, religions have wonderful prayers too. So there's all sorts of options here, and you know, meditation can be for me something as simple as I remember the first time that I actually was probably honestly fully in the moment. I was walking out of my house and I was getting ready to go to work and I noticed these flowers and I stopped and I just looked at these flowers and I had seen them. I don't know how many times, but that particular day I saw them. I fully saw them and I was fully present in that moment. And I called Beverly later and she said, well, yeah, that's, you know, that's our goal. That's how, you know, our goal is to be that present in every moment. And so for me, that's a meditation too, is being fully present in the moment. And it's a difficult thing to do. And she used to say things like, peel an orange. Well, I don't like oranges. And why do I want to peel one? It's about focusing on peeling the oranges. And people would say to me, just brush your teeth and don't focus on anything else but brushing your teeth while you're brushing your teeth. And I will tell you, that's hard to do because my mind wanders. And it's okay that my mind wanders in meditation. And that's what people say to me. Well, my mind wanders, so I'm not doing it right. It's okay if your mind wanders. Just bring it back to wherever you were. You know, we're human. Our minds are going to wander. I don't know if alcoholics' minds are necessarily busier than normal people's, but I know mine's pretty busy most of the time. And so it's going to wander off, and that's okay. If I'm working at this, this is a lifelong practice here. And the thing about this is, you know, they talk about, you know, all the things, it, you know, this is intensely practical for me. This is where, you know, I get to figure out, you know, what do I want to be? Who do I want to be today? You know, what do I want to accomplish? What are my goals? How can I be of service today? And so, you know, it's God's really good to me because I get to be of service to somebody every day. And I got to be of service to somebody today, and that was very cool. I got to take some food and some catnip to somebody today, and that was my service for today. And that's one of the things that my morning prayer is, you know, how can I be of service today? And maybe it's not that, maybe it's something else. But for me, you know, my goal in life, this perfection that we're all seeking and we will not reach in this lifetime, is, you know, it's practice. It's how can I be helpful? How can I be of service to you? Because my purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. That's my purpose. It tells me that in the big book. So this for me is the meatiest step for getting me into that space. And, you know, my mind is just all over the place. So I think I'm just going to like stop talking and let you guys ask me questions. Please ask me questions because you know Kevin well.
All right. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Jerome.
So let's open this up to questions. Who has a question for Terry on step 11?
Oh, Jack does. He's got his hand up.
No, he's clapping.
Oh, he's clapping? Thank you, Jim. I don't know.
Yeah, just unmute yourself if you'd like to ask a question, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Do you really think that, you know, distributing catnip is the spirit of the 11th step?
Sometimes, yes.
I know we got stone cats all over. I'm just kidding. I think, thank you, Terry. That was great. You know, you and I are always very close to on the same page. Sometimes we say exactly the same thing because we've grown up together and learned a lot of these lessons through similar experiences and the same experiences. I found this step to be for me very simple, and life-saving, because like you said, it brings me into today and into the here and the now. I'm asking every morning when I get up to be shown first to connect through prayer and meditation with my higher power, and to be shown all through the day what I'm supposed to do, and to know and trust that I will be given the power to do it. And so that guides my life. You know, Abby was my sponsor years and years ago, and she used to tell me, if you want to know God's will for you, answer your door, answer your phone, and answer your mail. So if I just let come to me in my life what comes to me, and trust that I will have the power to deal with it, the strength, the wisdom, the insight, then my day goes very smoothly. When I try to create a plan, you know, not so much, then I struggle. So I know that when I'm struggling, that's me. When I'm not struggling, I am in the spirit of the 11th step, and I am allowing the universe to come to me and guide me, and trusting that I will. And so far, I have been given the strength I need to deal with whatever comes my way. Sometimes that's not so easy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I need a lot of strength to be given to deal with what comes in the day. Sometimes it's all just smooth. But thanks, Tara. Love you.
So, honey, do you have a question?
Yeah, it was about the catnip.
Oh, okay.
Like, did you really think that was, you know, think that through?
He thought so. He liked it.
Jerome, do you have your hand up there?
I have a question.
All right.
I'm sorry I came in a little late. I had some other things going on. Maybe I'm overthinking this whole thing, because, you know, I pray every day, morning and night, and throughout the day. And occasionally I do some guided meditation online. But for me to sit down and try to meditate, and I got a concept of how it is, I just can't do it. Now, maybe I'm not giving myself a chance, or maybe I need some guidance on how to do it. But I just can't seem to feel like I'm accomplishing anything doing it. You follow that?
Uh-huh.
I need your advice.
Yeah, okay, because I'm so good at this.
Need your spirit, strength, and hope as well. Okay?
You know, there's no wrong way to do a right thing, I guess. And I always thought it was, you know, really complicated, and I, you know, thought I was doing it wrong, and, you know, geez, it didn't seem to be working. But like I said, you know, here's the questions. I don't know if you were in here for this part, but, you know, in step 11, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? That's the meditation. So if I'm reviewing my day and I'm running those questions through my head, that's the meditation. And then when I come to whatever conclusion that I come to out of asking myself these questions in this meditation, you know, then I ask, if I need to ask for God's forgiveness, I ask forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Same thing in the morning on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. Now, I always lived in next week, next month, next year, next decade, next century. So what I like about this is it says, let's just think about the 24 hours ahead. What are we going to do today? You know? And so then, you know, as I'm, and honestly, for me now, it's automatic almost. Like that's what I do when I'm feeding the cats or I making my coffee or whatever my morning routine is. That's what's going through my head. This meditation is what's going through my head. It's okay. So what are we doing today, God? What are you and I doing today? You know, what do we need to do? And a lot of times, you know, what I think we're going to do isn't what we do. Because, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And so, but it also says in there for God to direct my thinking, and especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. So if I'm paying attention to those things, then that's the meditation. You can do guided meditations, and you can do the, you know, I'm laying on a beach and letting the waves wash over me. Well, then I'd have to get up and pee because of the water. Anyway.
Okay. Where'd Terry go?
He doesn't necessarily work for somebody else. And
where'd she go?
Okay, I can do that. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yes. My internet connection is unstable. Yes, it is. Okay.
Glad for that.
So, who's got the next question for Terry?
Hi, everyone. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hiya, Helen.
Hey, Helen.
A really strange coincidence, or isn't. Yesterday, I went to a virtual two-hour workshop on Step 11. And I found out something brand new, and I've been around a little while. But this workshop was given by Father Bill W., and it was all about two-way prayer, which comes from the Oxford group. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, have you ever heard of it? Have you ever tried it?
we're going to need to chat.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of internet online on, and you just look up, spelled out, two-way prayer. And he's got videos and everything on there, and it's really a neat, I've done it twice now, so, you know, obviously not quite an expert, but it's just a very different approach to prayer, but it goes back to the Oxford group, and I had never heard of it, so thought I'd find out if anybody else around here has ever heard of it, so thanks.
Thank you. Everybody keeps moving around.
Who has the next question for Terry?
You know, Kevin's going to jump in, you guys.
I'm taking a breath.
I don't have a question, but I'm going to answer the cat thing.
Oh,
I do believe that the cat thing was service work because I have a very, very happy cat tonight. But Terry's been coming here and she's been running all of my errands for me to save me to go out. And every time she's at the store, she messages me and said, do you need anything? And she was at Giant Eagle and she messaged me and I said, I needed something. And then she said, but before I come back, I'm going to run by Stan's and I'm going to get Yosha's catnip. Because this cat doesn't like dried catnip. He only loves fresh catnip. And I have done everything in the face of this earth to try and get catnip to live past October. And it won't. So always in the spring, the first thing I do is I go to Stan's and I buy him a catnip plant. Well, I can't obviously go to Stan's right now and walk around there. I can't breathe long enough to walk to the mailbox. So she brought him a catnip plant and he was in love. Okay, so he had fresh catnip today. He has been the most loving, wonderful. I don't know if you've seen crawling all over my head tonight or not, but he's a very happy cat. So in my house, heroes wear flamingo masks. I consider it service work. So I didn't have a question, but I wanted to clear that up.
Thanks, Susan.
Well, we've lost control of this meeting completely.
It's just the members that we have.
Well, yeah.
Come here, baby.
All right. Anybody else?
I have a question, shockingly.
I'm shocked. Right,
okay, so, you know, we're at the 11th step, and you're talking about prayer, and you're talking about meditation. I don't know how early or late in your sobriety that you first got to step 11. Could you explain, like, your own evolution of your 11th step from like the first time you approached it to the last time to today?
God, do you like lay awake at night and think these up or what? The evolution of my 11th step. Well, the first time, you know, the first time through, the first serious time through, I kind of just didn't really, I just ignored the meditation part, you know, sought through prayer and no meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Because I figured if I'm praying, that counts, right? And then somebody kept it really simple for me and said, well, prayer is the request and meditation is the listening. And I went, okay. Which actually is just one of many of millions of ways to meditate. And I mean, I, you know, of course, I still have the perfectionist in me a lot. And so then when I realized that there was a lot more to this, and actually that came from going to big book meetings and going to 12 and 12 meetings and reading it over and over and hearing it read to me over and over, that I realized that there was more to this. But I was like Jerome, I was overthinking it. And so I was pretty sure that I probably wasn't doing it right. So, you know, I went and got other books too, because, you know, even though the answers are right in front of me, I still have to go find other answers. And they all basically brought me back to the same thing. This is a personal thing. And, you know, I've got a book that's just about the 11th step, and I don't know where it is right now. I have read it. It's excellent, but it still brings me back to the simplicity of this. And so now, so I don't know, I was probably 10 years sober. Honestly, I was probably 10 years sober when I really, I don't want to say figured this out, but that this really started to really mean a lot to me. More so than it had the prior 10 years. I prayed, I meditated, but about 10 years sober, there was just this psychic, it was another psychic change, you know, and it was a real shift in how I looked at this step specifically, because I was feeling like I had hit a plateau, like I wasn't growing spiritually. And I had seen a lot of people go back out of 10 years, and a lot of them didn't make it back, and a lot of them died. And I knew that I didn't want to be there. And so I was praying for God to help me enlarge my spiritual life. And some other things came to me, some other, you know, literature, that then again brought me right back to this, because the truth is the truth. And it doesn't matter what words you use, it's still true. And I can use a lot of different words for all of the words that are in the big book and the 12 and 12, but it's still the truth. And that's the thing about this, is it speaks truth. And so now it is, I don't know when it became like just part of who I am. But at some point it has become part of who I am. You know, when I was at the store today, sometimes things come out of my mouth that weren't in my head. So I know that that's God speaking through me. And I don't know if you guys, if that makes sense to anybody, but that's, you know, because people will say, can you repeat that? And I'll say no, because I really don't know what I said. And so, like, even today, you know, calling Susan, it was like it was just like I called Susan, you know. There was no really big plan to it, you know. It's just kind of sometimes things just happen. And I know that God's working through me. And so I know that I'm becoming a better channel. And so that's kind of, you know, I mean, it's a lot of scraped knees, a lot of, you know, occasional inspiration, which was ridiculous a lot of times. And, you know, I made some really silly mistakes, you know, based on what I thought was God's will for me. And so, you know, it just takes time, just like everything else. It just takes time. It just takes practice. And you know, and it's you know, my thought and prayer and meditation life today is solid. There have been periods where, you know, and it talks about that in the 12 and 12, where I lost my faith. I couldn't find it, and I didn't want to pray, and I didn't want to meditate, and I just, because it didn't seem like it was working. And so Beverly said, well, pray for the willingness to pray. And so I would do that. I did it begrudgingly. And I did it long enough that it worked, because this stuff works if I just do it. And I'm so glad that I experienced that period so that I could understand when people say to me, I don't want to pray. Because up until that time, I didn't understand it. Well, you know, this stuff works now. Now you've been exposed to this for a period of time. Why would you want to stop doing it? And I did want to stop doing it. And so I'm grateful that I learned that, because, you know, I have some experience for when other people say to me, I don't want to pray. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard. It's too much work. I don't want to learn these things about myself. I just want to stay asleep. I don't want to wake up. I just want to stay asleep. And so, you know, part of my job now as a sponsor is to help the women that I sponsor wake up, you know, and wake up to their own spiritual journey, whatever that is. And I can give them suggestions. I can show them 100 different ways to pray and meditate, and they're going to find what works, you know, they're going to find what works for them. And, you know, I really hope that I'm going to continue to learn about this. I'm going to do what Helen said, because I want to know more, because now I'm greedy. You know, I like this spiritual life. I like to enlarge my spiritual life. And so I want an opportunity to do it every chance I get. And so I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I talked for 5 minutes, so.
No, it was perfect. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is like somebody at the beginning, you know, this isn't working. I hate doing this. Why am I doing this? Blah, 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 blah. You know, you explained the process and the evolution of your own growth. And I guess to piggyback on that, I'd like to ask you about, you know, when you were talking when you were talking about the beginning steps, you were talking about kind of your own negative self-image that you had of yourself, and how the 11th step has taken that negative self-image of yourself to where it is today, and, you know, how you feel, how you view yourself today versus how you did when you came in.
Wow. When I came in, I couldn't look myself in the eye in the mirror. And because there was just so much self-loathing and so much, you know, self-loathing, you know, pretty much because I had done so many things, you know, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I had done so many terrible things to myself that I couldn't see that I was worthy of a God, that I was worthy of anything. And, you know, through this process, and I couldn't look at other people in the eye. And if I did, it was a quick glance. It wasn't for very long. And I knew what everybody's shoes looked like when I first got here. You know, I could tell who was coming in the room by their shoes. And so, you know, from there to here, I clearly it's a psychic change. There's just no, you know, logical, if you want to use the word logical, there's no logical explanation for what has happened to me except a complete psychic change. And and so now I'm it's funny because I'll look in the mirror and I'll go, heck, some gray hairs. Well, whatever, you know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You know, I'm cool with how I look. And I'm cool, but that's because I'm cool with who I am on the inside. You know, I'm a child of a living creator, and I know that I am absolutely loved, and I know that I am worthy of those things. And so I have self-respect, I have self-esteem, I have all of those things that I didn't have before, because I had to wade through all that garbage, you know, to get to this point where this is who I am. I know who I am, and I'm good with that today. Really good with who I am today. And you know, I don't know when that happened. It just did. You know, a lot of the things that have happened in my life, you know, I sit here and I think, geez, I should be journaling every day, because there's been so many things in my life that I can't pinpoint. I can't say this is the day that I got up and decided that, hey, you know what, I'm good with myself. You know, I don't know what day that was. I don't know if it was a process. I don't know how it happened, but I know that today, and I trust my instincts, you know, I trust my judgment, and I never trusted myself before. And I am trustworthy too. Like, you can trust me, you know, with your house or your car or your cat or your husband, you know what I mean? Because I'm trustworthy. And that's one of the gifts that the goddess has given me, is trustworthiness.
Thank you. That was good.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Terry, this is Jim. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yep.
Hey, you know, I go to meetings with different people, and we get to the meeting, and then after the meeting, on the way home, we always talk about, when did God come into the lead? And it's kind of funny, because if you go and you hear people speak a lot, like I do, I love to hear people speak, there are points in the meeting that really resonate with me. And I'm always thinking, that must be God talking to me. Maybe it's to everybody. But I get this overwhelming feeling that I'm supposed to hear that particular message. And I'm thinking, and maybe you can elaborate on this, is that when my conscious contact is getting better?
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. One of the most spiritual guys I know is asking me that question. Yeah, I think so. I really think so. It's funny because I was on a GSR workshop last night. And we were talking about, you know, various things like how to safely open meetings, you know, how to deal with meetings that aren't going to open, but take care of the seventh tradition and all these other things. And, you know, that's one of the things that came into this meeting, is they were talking about that, you know, this is where we find our conscious contact is through other people. You know, a lot of times it's not, I can do solitary meditation and prayer, but if I don't go back out and I don't share that with somebody, or I don't get it back from somebody else, it doesn't mean as much. And yeah, there's people that have spoken, and you know, the hair on the back of my neck stands up, and you know, and I'm sobbing, and I know that's God talking just straight to me. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad everybody's here.
Somebody else have a question?
It's good going. Feeling.
Dave, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You know, with all this stuff that's going on where you're isolating yourself, and I know with me that my attitude, you know, kind of gets off base. Mm-hmm. And like yesterday, I was having a hard time dealing with some things, and I couldn't allow myself to go to this 11th step. You know, I needed some peace in my life, And the one thing that that's actually helped right now, and maybe you can answer it, what things can you do that kind of get you back on the track? And mine was to actually get to a meeting tonight, because it's been a rocky road today. And I'm really I'm glad to be here to listen to you. And is there anything that you do specifically that kind of gets you back on track with your 11 step?
That's really, I had a really crap day yesterday. I had a headache all day and I just was miserable, and I don't get headaches. And so, you know, being a good alcoholic, I decided I probably had a brain tumor, you know, because that's where my mind goes, right to the worst case scenario. And I was I was really struggling with that. And I just said, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to feel this way. I don't know what the headache was about, but the rest of me was just yuck, blah, you know, whatever. Not depressed, just like off, you know? And so, and it's funny because when I got the notification that this meeting was going to be last night, I'm like, well, there it is. That's what I'm going to do. And so a lot of times, you know, God just presents an answer to me if whether I'm looking for one or not. And that's a lot of times what it is. I'm not looking for an answer. You know, I'm not looking to get better, but God will tap me on the shoulder and say, okay, here you go. Here's an opportunity to be of service, because I know from my own experience that, you know, when all else fails, work with another alcoholic will save the day, you know, and that's, he gave me that opportunity to do that. So I hope that helped. Good.
Anyone else?
It's funny. Go ahead, Greg. No?
I was just going to ask if there was anyone else. Did I cut you off, Terry? You say something.
I was gonna say something. Hi, I'm Shar. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shar.
Hi. Terry, I win because I had a headache today and I went and had a CAT scan done. So I win.
Yes, you do.
I had brain surgery, so it's a little bit different for me, but still. I was like, I have a headache, scan my brain, I'm dying. And I'm not. But of course, because I'm impatient, I looked up what Helen was talking about. And Terry, you and I learned about that when we were at Lilydale for the spiritualism in AA.
Yeah, you're right.
And that just kind of got me thinking about how many times in my sobriety I've been so excited about like injecting something new into my prayer and meditation, and then it just kind of like trails off. You know, you do it a couple times and it's so exciting, and then it just kind of trails off. And Helen saying that just reminded me, like, oh my God, I did that a couple times and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question to you is like, how do we keep that? How do we keep that excitement and that, I don't know, that openness? That without it just kind of going blah, and you know, and then your morning prayer goes back to, hey, thanks, you know, and that's pretty much it. Like, how do you keep it going that way? Help me.
I don't, you know, I think I really feel like we have to have those little dips. Because otherwise we wouldn't appreciate them. Wow, this is really awesome and cool. Because, you know, even too much of a good thing gets old. And so, you know, I think that sometimes those periods of, oh my God, you know, now what am I going to do next? Motivates us then when we do find something else or rediscover something, you know? So, I'm a fire sign, so I'm really sunlight driven. And so on days when we don't have a lot of sun, I just would be perfectly content to go stay in the basement and never look at another human, but bring the cats. And so that's when I get those signals, that's when I try to look for something to lighten my spirit, because you know, on sunny days I'm good. I mean, and maybe that we're all like that because of where we live. I don't know, but I know, like this morning, I was cool. I was outside doing stuff. I'm chatting with God. You know, we're having a great conversation about, you know, the flowers and how pretty everything looks, and I'm really in the moment. And then you know, it starts raining, and I'm like, you know, so I think we got to have the sometimes so we can really enjoy the other time. And you know, I've heard people say, don't get too happy, and, you know, be as happy as you want to, you know, because it's rare. And so if you find something that makes you really, really happy, then do it, you know, because we're going to be sad times too. I miss you. Yeah.
Anyone else? No?
Okay.
Greg, before we close the meeting, I'd like to do like a secretary and treasurer's just a short spiel. So sure. If you could ask, Bruce has something to say, and then I would like to say something on top of that, okay?
Okay.
Hello, everyone. I'm the treasurer for the 12 and 12 Legacy Group, and Kevin's been giving me some information about our cost with the CDs, and we're obviously not bringing in any money. So we chatted about it and thought, after looking, Kevin looked into it a little bit more. He was able to reduce the cost of sending out a CD from almost $14 down to $10.80, which is a nice savings. But we're still going to run out of money extremely fast. And our thought process was to throw it out there to the people that are here tonight, get their feedback. We have a 6 3/4 remit security envelope that Kevin would include when he sends out the package. That would be so they could return a donation of $5, $10, whatever, and help us lag along here. Or you could even pick it up at Kevin's house, if you so will. That would, he's volunteered for that also. So that's what I have to say on the treasury report, because we are, the Seventh Tradition is clearly states we're self-supporting through our own contributions. And that's, if we keep doing what we're doing, we we'll have to start wearing our mask and going to the bank and sticking them up, I guess. So anyway, it's not a doom and gloom thing, but it's just something that we feel we're going to have to do. So that's what I was throwing out there. And Kevin's been doing an unbelievable job of helping us get this far. And we can't get help if we don't ask for it, I guess. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. My thoughts on this are, normally if we were in a regular setting, I would say, okay, I'd pass out a sheet that tells anybody who what I would have is all of the cases with all the previous 11 steps, and then mail out the 12th step. So my goal and ultimate goal is and Jim's here, Jim Britton's here, and it's an excellent example of getting these CDs out there. People from all over get a copy of these things, and it really makes a big difference. I mean, we're not here to try to make any money or even try to even break even. That's like a, you know, would be a supreme goal. My ultimate goal is to make sure that anybody who wants a copy of Terry's presentation on the steps to just get a hold of me or ask. And if you can't afford it, it's fine. I'd rather have the CDs out there than not out there. If you want to come and get them, that's fine. There's lots of, if you have any ideas on how to do this, we're open for suggestions, but my ultimate goal would be to have a list of all the other 14 speakers that we've had. I have complete copies of all those CDs, and I can either mail those out, you can come and pick those up. I just haven't, I don't have that list. I'm going to try to learn how to do that. I'm going to share the screen with that, or how that somehow how it works. So we all have an opportunity to pick up a copy of the previous 14 speakers. Next week will be the complete series for Terry. So we'll have to 15 people who have done it. And, we just want to make sure that it's available, it's reasonable, and fair to us too, and our seventh tradition. So we'll take any suggestions or whatever. It's just throwing it out there to the fellowship so we can better bring this to our fellowship. All right? Thanks for letting Bruce and I share a little bit.
And, thanks, guys.
I'll turn it over to Greg.
I'm an alcoholic and my name's Terry. This is one of the things that we actually talked about last night. And actually the woman who was conducting the workshop, her home group is in Manhattan. And so of course they have some other problems and difficulties that we don't have here because they're so confined. Now, do you guys have a PayPal account? Do you have Venmo? Do you have any of those things? That's what I thought you said. Now, can we just donate to that? I don't know how Venmo works, but I'm sure.
I don't know how. Truthfully, I don't know how any of those works, and I think I just thought about, you know, not being very competent in a technological world, putting $3 in the basket in a Venmo account, or I don't know how that works. It gets $3 on my credit card. They also probably have some kind of fee and stuff like that. So I don't know if we just, you know, have people request envelopes or put it in an envelope and send it to Bruce. I don't know. I don't know enough about it to really speak with any kind of authority.
Well, here's how PayPal works. Go ahead, Andrew.
Venmo doesn't charge any fees.
No.
Okay.
Venmo. So if you were to set up, this group has an account, I'm sure, a checking account. All you do is link that to the whoever is managing that account and making an account on Venmo, and then you can donate money to that person who would then transfer it into the account for no charge.
Okay. There you go, Bruce. Go ahead.
And that's one of the things that they talked about doing because, you know, a lot of meetings are running through their money. They're not, you know, maybe they're not paying rent anywhere, but a lot of meetings have other expenses, you know. And then there's things like Central Committee and General Service that, you know, they have ongoing expenses. And if the meetings aren't bringing any money in, the meetings aren't sending any money to those places either. So one of the things that they suggested that the meetings do that are doing Zoom meetings is, you know, take up a collection, whatever that is, however you set it up. So, you know, maybe I want to say, okay, I'm going to donate $10, and then like that's going to take care of the month for me, or however you do it. But it's I think that because I think we're going to be doing this for quite some time yet. And yeah. So I think that we need to figure out a way because we do have expenses, you know, other meetings have expenses as well. And so I think that that's an excellent idea. I don't know much about Venmo, but I can certainly Google it.